Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, folks? It is the most 500 version of edition of the Hitting the High Notes Jazz Podcast. It is I am here. You can find me on the Twitterverse at Jazz High Notes. If there's a new social media coming up, please tell me, because you know every day is another day closer to the end of Twitter, apparently. So, apologies. We have no Go the Distance 49. He got a new job protecting princesses on Thursday night, so we won't see him for a while. But we did bring back. It's been a couple episodes. The Squatches of Dragon had a very busy December, but now you're on break. What's up, Logan?
Yeah, we got confirmation that Kyle Whittingham was able to successfully tile both of his shoes this morning. So I believe the saying is "Utes by a million." Rising was able to brush his teeth yesterday. So I believe the saying is "Utes by a million." Is that a Ute fan exclusive thing, or do all the fake? Is that like the let's fucking go thing that everyone does? I don't know. I only see Ute fans do taking simple things that lead them to believe that the Utes are going to win games.
Twitter has made you so bitter against some of these teams.
Yeah, as you knew growing up, I was actually a Utes fan, but that no longer is the case.
Yeah, big Utes fan, big Alec Brooks fan over here, the Dragon Squatch. So.
Oh, God. You know how much I didn't like Alec Brooks. And when I came back to my Jazz fan, I'm like, this guy's still on our team? And he was smiling now, because when I was really paying attention, he was bitter and angry and a spoiled little shit the whole time. So when I came back, he was smiling and happy and shooting threes and everyone liked him. I'm like, what the fuck happened while I was gone? Derek Favors became a cult hero. I was like,
All right. He won you a FanDuel contest the other night. So that was pretty funny, so.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure out what you little shitheads are up to on FanDuel. This is so much fun. I went like half a quarter of the season just like always looking, not figuring out what the strategy was. I'm like, wait a second. I'm going to go look at the winning lineups and figure out what the hell they're doing.
And now, I still haven't figured it out. I think I won once. I came a second like a couple times, but yeah, I won once. So
I think the trick is you pay for like two or three of the top-notch guys and then you go try to find scrubs that have good games. It's the only way to figure it out most nights.
Yeah, that was the hard part. So
I was trying to do balance teams, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 a piece, you know, just have a good balanced squad, and that shit never worked out. So
now we're back to getting the Giannis's and the, you know, it's funny because like so Logan and I are in a FanDuel like contest with a bunch of people from Twitter, and basically you know you set up FanDuel lineup every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Of course, Luca does a 60-20-10. On a Tuesday night, I'm like, oh damn! Like, so, I see performances like that. I'm like, that would have been a fun FanDuel experience. But
my one beef with it, I want to take up a stapler is the Friday night. You can't check the score because you have to go in and set your Saturday lineup, and so you can see it for a while, and then it disappears. You know, so you don't even know if you win Friday night till you check the win counter the next day. Because then, when you log in, at least on the app again, then all you can do is set your Saturday lineup.
I set my lineup probably 60% of the time, so it's a drain on my mental energy. But
well, either way, enough to check to see if you're winning, though. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, It'll just tell you to set your lineup. So,
there are days when I'm like, oh, I didn't set my lineup today. It's like 7:30. I'm like, well, no point in setting it now because I missed like half the game. So, but you know, nobody cares about our fantasy teams. What they care about is, I don't know what they. If you're listening, I don't know what you care about. We're talking about the 19-18 Utah Jazz. You know, ninth place, the play-in, the 500 Utah Jazz. Yippee, good for them.
We haven't chatted about it in a while. I had a whole bunch of notes in here about like you know that as an avid really horny listener of the twos and threes. I'm not sure if Mark still listens to us or not. I don't know.
Probably not.
I still listen. They had a great pod on the schedule, and I'm not a schedule warrior, right? Like, I always think it's a BS excuse, but their schedule was pretty gnarly bad, right? So I was like, they've been up and down. Let's see what they do on this homestand. And they just straight mid to death the homestand, right? Like, they just were, they lost. And they
super mid.
The bad teams, and they keep like their record against bad teams is bizarre. Then last night I'm walking around the house and I see that they're like 5-2 in clutch situations, like the top three. They're being like, well, what is this team? They're just, but then they go and lose to a G League version of the Warriors. The Warriors. Yeah. The Warriors were trotting out people last night I had never even heard of or seen.
Like the Spurs on a one game win streak against.
Spurs won again tonight though too.
Oh, did they? Okay, so there they go.
Nice. Like the East Coast Jazz.
So I mean the Jazz are just kind of at least I thought they were. And we'll get to that. Like did I really think they were a 500 team? At the beginning of the season, because we're looking back here, it's the end of 2022. Of our Lord Danny Ainge here, and I like to kind of like look back and talk about things that we come on this podcast. We're not experts, Logan. You and I aren't experts. We're just people here talking about the Jazz. Yeah. Sometimes you make ridiculous statements. Sometimes we just talk about things, and things change very quickly from July, August to December, and they'll change again from December to May. So I kind of want to check ourselves. Go back and talk about things that we talked about, and see if things have changed in our minds, in our mind palaces that we made. So first off, one big thing. We did a Bojan episode that was when he got traded to the Pistons. And do you remember what you thought about that Bojan trade when it happened?
I think I was more indifferent on it because I think people were in an uproar, and I think I was making the impassioned statement for Danny Ainge saying if you trusted him to be so great in these other trades, you have to just assume that's what the market was for Bojan. So I wasn't super, I know a lot of people were really angry about it and felt like it was a one-sided trade because we'd won these other trades so drastically that we got the short end. And then Bojan's been really good. It's kind of shown itself again on Twitter, when some of those rumors started floating out about some of the teams in the hunt for Bogey. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember being, I guess, the
indifferent.
The devil's advocate in the situation because it seemed like we should have got something, like maybe a second round pick or something. But it was just, I just have to believe that it wasn't there, especially based upon. But then again, maybe it wasn't there because we'd done so many other ridiculous things. So maybe we're a victim of our own success. Maybe another year we do get him. And that's what I'm wondering, if there's so many things aren't happening, We listen to the Low podcast and stuff. They keep talking about how everyone's going to want these Rudy Gobert type deals, and it'll probably last for a year because that's what people are going to ask, even though it's not going to happen. So maybe we are. Maybe we're the reason we couldn't get a first rounder for Bogey.
Ridiculous. Like ruining the market is what a lot of people said. And
I grew to love Bogey though. I was never huge on him, and we were all captaining the trade Bogey train. You guys were fans. I wasn't. But he became one of my favorite Jazz men, and I do think the Kelly. I do think it was a good trade now because Kelly O seems to be quite polarizing on the Twitter, but I think the numbers kind of prove out that he's pretty important to the winning they're doing. So I guess
And that's what I want to get at too. So when a trade happened, I'm like, oh, this is probably a tanking move. Kelly Olynyk is fine. It would have been nice to get a pick out of it, but it is what it is, right? And now we're looking at, looking at it 4 months later, I think a lot of us undervalued Kelly Olynyk. He had some good years. He played on a bad Houston team. There's some analytics that say he's a pretty good player. But you don't think of Kelly Olynyk as a good player,
And he was a rotation guy with the Celtics and then played on a bunch of bad teams, right? So,
right. So, I did not really understand how good of a player he was. So, I guess that's where I stand now is that, maybe we overvalued Bogey a little bit, but I think where I come out is I undervalued Kelly Olynyk. And there's going to be a lot of people out there who still hate Kelly Olynyk. And it is really weird. The stats say he plays well, and he's not a world beater. But man, if you had Kelly Olynyk as your backup center last year, or even playing the four sometimes for the Jazz with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, that team would have been pretty good. So
I think it's like that Shaq meme, which is the one I've got to apologize. I wasn't familiar with your game, and they always put another guy in there. I think that's right, Kelly Olynyk. So
yeah, that's what that is.
No, but I mean, I think the thing is that you can't. He does a lot of things that drive you crazy. He looks kind of obnoxious. He does a lot of obnoxious things, but he does make a lot of winning plays. And again, it's hard to understand. I don't know. There's
right.
It's funny that we can bash him, but then we can continue to praise, the Rudys and Gobert, that is, and the Mike Connollys of years past for impacting the game, you know, and not in the ways you see.
Yeah. So
it's kind of an interesting way that we are selective in our usage of those guys. I don't know. Sometimes I want to choke him too, though. So I get it. But I mean, he could be a, like you said, a good backup center, good four, a good eight. You know, and in your rotation on a championship team, is something just mixes things up and
right.
You know, causes matchup issues.
And he's a top. Yeah, he could be a top. Yeah, right. I think he could be a top 8 to 9 player on almost any team.
Fit. I don't think he changes last year's team. I mean, the Jazz are obviously better with Bogey last year with that construction of guys. But yeah, in the right situation like he is now, I think he's a valuable piece. So I come out as neutral on it. And maybe now we do get ourselves someone's desperate first round pick if they move off Kelly and the trade deadline. So who knows?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know you did, but I don't know if not a lot of people listen to our trade special that we had last episode with Eric, which is a shame because like he brought some good points, and part of it is like kind of find out where the trade deadline could tell us. Hopefully, will tell us some where the Jazz are heading. You know, are they heading to try to get a worse record, or are they heading to be contenders? I don't know. Like right now, they're just we talked about they're mid, so we have no idea. They're just kind of floating in that area that you don't want to be, that mediocre area. And I don't care that the Jazz have all these future assets. Where the Jazz are right now, it's so bothersome. So, and that's a soapbox for another day.
I guess a terrifying theory that has entered my mind is, I don't know who are guys that we need to move off of because we wouldn't have them as assets next year. Not saying they're expiring contracts, not seeing the value in that.
But right.
I mean, what guys are gone that we would need to try to capitalize on this year? Because Danny Ainge is famous for waiting it out. So just because if he doesn't get what he wants, he may sit on these guys for another year, another offseason. So, I mean, the guys that are always rumored are Connolly and Clarkson, who Connolly's got another year and an option, right? Or one more year?
Next year's like the option year. So,
He's still around.
The non-guaranteed year, I should say. Like, he's guaranteed a lot of money, but that's not all guaranteed. So,
yeah, but he's still under contract, so they can theoretically move him next offseason. And the same with JC is
extension eligible. Yeah. So, I mean, and those guys are being brought up because of like their age, right? Like the Jazz are probably not going to be a contender the next 3 years. So you probably want to get guys who are going to be here in the 25 and the 26 and the 27. So.
And Mando's got a good contract. He's under control for a few years. Beasley's got a team option. Is Kelly a free agent next year?
I will look that up right now. Kelly Olynyk.
He might be the one guy that you would have to move. I'm just thinking this from a different angle because we're hopeful that we know something by the deadline, but there could be another scenario where they just he doesn't get what he wants and rides it out. But I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating part. Like as a fan, like so, Kelly Olynyk with another. So he's got another year on his contract, but only $3 million guaranteed next year. So only a quarter of his contract is guaranteed. So my
theory is only making me think this may be even worse thing because no one's really he could theoretically just hold on to everyone until he gets what he wants in another offseason.
Yeah.
There's no
Olynyk is one of those guys that if you trade him to somebody that wants to get off money next year, that's a trade piece because like you only have to give $3 million of the 12.
So you're saying that Kelly and Connolly's contracts get more team friendly next year.
Yes,
Vando's contract is ridiculous. He's making like $3 or $4 million a year, right? Like it's something like.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about these players that we came in these trades that we didn't really know a lot about Vanderbilt before he came in. We didn't know, really like we knew that Lauri Markkanen was pretty good, but not as good as he's played. Colin said so. As I'm looking at this contract here, Jared Vanderbilt. He's got another year out $4 million because he was a second round pick. And I don't know, like, how do you feel about Vanderbilt from beginning of the season to now?
I'm actually more down on him now. I think he's one of the guys. Like, if I'm allowed to make trades based upon like actual likability and not just on value. Let's say it's a perfect world where they're banging on the door, giving me what I want for all of them. I'm probably trading him because I think that I don't think he brings much to the Jazz. I think I tweeted that he's the epitome. He's the epitome to me of don't mistake activity for achievement. He runs around and hustles a lot, but I don't think he makes a lot of winning plays. And I think that I'm just not a huge. He's nice. He's fine. If he's my ninth or tenth guy on my team, I think it's okay. But if there's a market clamoring for him, I would, you know, I'd let him go. He seems like a really cool dude, but we don't just keep guys because they're cool, you know. But I mean, from a personality standpoint, I seem to really like him. I'm just saying his game is one that I've just kind of fallen out of love with. I don't dislike him, but I just don't. I think that he's just kind of tricking people by running around it a lot, but he's not really right. doing much. So he would be top on my trade list, to be honest, if I'm factoring in, you know, what they bring to the, you know, feelings and also, I guess, logic on what should happen. But I think he was a great get. I think he was a great get because there seems to be a lot of people who want him.
I agree with pretty much everything you said there. Like, at the beginning of the season, I know a lot of people were like, oh, Jared Vanderbilt,
I didn't want to be part of him. Like, you guys can't get rid of him. No way. He's untouchable. Now I'm like, I'll let him go first.
Right. Yeah. Things have changed. And then I think what you said, right. Like, I mean, we see he's high energy. He's got a great contract. And the thing that you talked about, like, is he seems valued. He seems to be put into a lot of different trade scenarios. So
he's a nice salary. Easy to add in, right? So
yep. And so
Rudy Gay is clearly at the top. We're just going to assume Rudy Gay is number one, right? So I forgot to add that in. Rudy Gay's at the top. Like, he's in his own stratosphere.
Maybe you have to give Vanderbilt and Rudy Gay in the same package. There's a lot of things, but Jared Vanderbilt's one of those guys that, again, beginning of the year, people were very like, oh my God, look at this starting power forward, yada yada yada. And you know, now that we've had 3 months, it's just one of the things that 3 months later, seeing his games, like, you like him, it's not bad to have, but like, is he really the key to a championship in 4 years? You know, like, he's good right now on $4 million. Yeah, that's great, but does that mean he's going to?
He's gonna get paid again. He keeps doing these things. He's gonna get paid again between now and then. He's not the discount player that he was
on a $15 million contract. I mean, does that look like, you know, does that change the situation? So, he's young, and I think that's great. And so, I think you're right. Like, if he got moved, I don't think I would be heartbroken about it. And I think some fans would be, but I think most fans would be like, okay, well, you know, depending on, you know, as long as you got something that you think of there's a value, like, you're not giving him away, but if someone gave you a good price for him, yeah, that's right. So, we talked about Kelly Olynyk, like, in we didn't know a lot about him, but preseason, and he's shown that he's probably an NBA rotation player, like you said. What about Lauri Markkanen, you know, the finisher, the marksman. We kind of talked about him during the Cavs trade, and like Colin Sexton, but Lauri Markkanen seems to be on pace for an all-star year.
I mean, I think that I think he's untouchable. I believe he's untouchable. I don't think there's a package anyone's willing to give out there to him that's worth giving up. I got some of the Lauri thoughts towards the end, because there have been some recent, you know, kind of growing pains, I guess I'll call them, as first half Lauri versus second half Lauri. But I believe he's shown enough to where he's untouchable in my mind. I won't give away all my untouchables. He's untouchable. I think he's shown enough. He's been the real surprise and get out of all this, even with Kessler lurking out there. But yeah, he's untouchable. And to go back to Kelly O, he would be second on my list, just not because I don't like him, but because I think he fetches the most value. I think you can get more from, I guess dollar for dollar, you can get more out of him than what else is out there. I think he's shown himself to be valuable, and I don't think he fits with the future of the Jazz. I think that obviously that's Kelly doesn't fit in the future of the Jazz. I just don't see it in any scenario.
Look at the Dragon Squatch and my play GM here. His favorite thing to do too. So
yeah, my fan. And they pushed me to this point. They pushed me to get in to take a stand.
So this is, and I'm going to say it again. I said this on the last pod, and people kind of were not happy with me when I said I don't know if Lauri is a number one on the team. You know, people think I'm underrating him, and maybe I am. I mean, I fully accept that I could be wrong about him, but I mean, last night, same thing. He scored 3 points in the first half. And anytime he scores over like 20 and a half, I ask the same question. I mean, I asked it against Chicago. I asked it against whatever other team he did it. And then I asked it last night when he did it against the Warriors, like, does he score 36 over more than 36 in the game? And he's shown time and time again that he doesn't do it. And people are like, oh, well, the Jazz just need to pass the ball more. And Chris Satter got asked that in this press conference yesterday too. And he said, well, guys, like, you know, we run a lot of actions for Lori, but there's another team on the other side. Like, there's five other guys trying to stop him from scoring. Just because he did in the first half doesn't mean, I mean, in the second half, they tried, but like, then Draymond Green was on him. And there was a play, I remember, like, Lori got the ball, tried to put up a quick three, and Draymond blocked it because he's like, oh, he's a catch and shoot guy. All I have to do is make sure, you know, the time this correctly, and he did. And so I think Lori's a good player. I also think Sabonis is a good player. I think Julius Randle, you know, I'm putting him in this tier with these guys, and I'm like, is he untouchable? I don't know. If you get a Rudy Gobert type package for Lori Markkanen, I wouldn't be mad about it. You know, if you get four unprotected picks,
I guess so. I guess that's true when you said if someone gave you 7,000 picks in Giannis, I wouldn't say it's untouchable. But I'm trying to like operate in a world of some reality to where the package there, it'd be hard to find a package that makes it worth it in my mind. I'm gonna pretend like I didn't hear you call Will Hardy someone else that shall not be named. He called him the cocaine cowboy. I'm not really like super, it's not really important to me whether he's a bona fide number one or not. To me, if he is good enough as Sabonis, he is good enough to be a number two in a second tier. You need to hold on to that because he's still only 25. He's making $13 million a year. The positives for that are just, they outweigh, I mean, at that point, what are you doing? You really want to tear it down to the Oklahoma City level where you have absolutely no, and they had SGA at least, you know, who's a tier above that. But that's what I'm saying. I'm sure by the next time I pot, I'll have a strong opinion on is he a one or not. I don't really care. But if he is an all-star caliber player who's still relatively young, who is growing, and who's got a ridiculously good contract, I don't see why you would want to move on from that.
I guess my reasoning is that, like, so yeah, he's 25. And I mean, I don't know when the Jazz are going to be great again. Like, what the Jazz are doing right now, people are like, oh, they love it because they're 19 to 18. They're supposed to be worse than they are. And that's fine. They're good. But like, that's the guys right now, it's giving them. I said fifth seed, right? I keep calling the fifth seed. Like, anything. First round or second round exit is all fizzy to me. It's all the same. It doesn't matter. And I think Lori can keep you there. But it's not even a tanking move. It's just like, when do I think the Jazz will be contenders again?
Let me ask you this. He's 25, so you don't think the Jazz... Well, if the Jazz aren't contending within the next 3 years, there's a real problem. So a 28-year Lori Markkanen doesn't fit your timeline?
Well, I mean, when's the next time the Jazz are going to get somebody amazing on this team?
I don't know. I'm just saying, but I'm not saying with that logic, though. I understand some of the older guys, but at some point you have to I guess I just don't have an interest in completely tearing it down to the bottom. Lori's not good enough on his own that he's going to carry the Jazz to, you know, anything ridiculous. Maybe a couple years down the road, you realize we're not going anywhere. Then you kick him out. But I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't do it this year. You know, maybe a year or two from now, it's like, okay, our window just isn't, we're not getting there. We're still way off. We haven't tanked well enough to get anyone good. Then I don't know. There's too much there for me to kick him out this year. I think that'd be a foolish.
When I play GM, I'm just thinking like Lori Markkanen, do I ever think he's going to be a top 20 player, top 30 player? I don't. But right now he's playing like that. So again, this is trading at max value. Like there's a chance that he can be, but you know, in a couple of years, if the Jazz are still just hanging around the eighth seed, the seventh seed, and Lori Markkanen just keeps you in that spot, I don't know. Do I just want to see three more years of the Jazz being the seventh seed? That doesn't interest me. So I want the Jazz to go one way or the other. You know, like, okay, cool, go get Lori Markkanen some help. Be bad. But you know, what they're doing right now is just frustrating. So. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not Lori alone, though. But if Lori is good enough by himself to carry the Jazz to his sixth seed, then he probably is a number one. That's Luka territory. So, I mean, I guess there's two sides. There's two sides to all of it. And so, I mean, I don't know. I just think This year, I don't know why you'd want to move him. And again, unless someone came up with came to you with some just.
I'm not saying like one draft thing. I'm like, if someone who's a contender says, okay, we're giving you a Godfather offer, like if they're gonna overpay, where everybody goes, whoa, like the Sixers, you know, they don't have picks or whatever, but if the Sixers gave you like Tyrese Maxey and whatever picks they have left, like, oh boy, like they just gave away a stud point guard and some other picks because like they think that Lauri Markkanen puts them to number one in the East. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, it's got to be a Godfather offer, but you know, that's kind of where I'm not gonna say just for anything, you know, like the Lakers.
Yeah, no. I mean, back to your original point. I wish they'd go one way or another. Either get him help or just move everyone else around him. But leaving him with a bunch of other okay players is not the way I want to be. Yeah. I guess, which is the whole
right.
I guess the whole premise of where we're at.
Because like Eric Sports last podcast was like, oh, what about the Lakers with the two draft picks? Nope, not enough.
No.
Two draft picks for the Lakers? Nope, not enough. There's got to be like a young player and like three picks. So that's my Godfather offer for Lauri. Is there any other player that kind of surprised you from, you know, preseason, beginning of season to like?
Oh, yeah, Beasley. I mean, I was very much openly vocal of how much I didn't like when I was just making, you know, juvenile jokes about hopefully just, you know, Larsa Pippen jokes. And I was like, I don't understand why you have him. It seems like another version of Jordan Clarkson. I think early on in the season when I started watching, I was like, why is he on the court with THT? And I was not a fan of his game, but I think he's currently my, probably either he or Lauri's my favorite Jazz player right now. And I know that I'm not going to be able to give you any good, you know, tank reasons for it. I just like him so much. I don't want him traded. And so I just, he's on my untradeable list, and there's no solid logical reason, you know, for it. But I would give up JC before I give up him. I like JC, but I'm not a JC cultist like some are. Like I would trade JC. I appreciate what he's done. He's been phenomenal. He's wanted to be here, and that means a lot to some people. But I don't. I like him. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. But I'm not. I don't. I wouldn't cry. I wouldn't just. I don't know. You know how it is. It's definitely
right.
It almost feels blasphemous to say that. And I would move JC before I'd move Beasley. It's like the proposed trade we saw for Collins was Beasley, Vanderbilt, and essentially the Jazz wanted more picks, and I was like, no, put JC in there. Like don't trade. I think one could make a little argument. Beasley is a little bit younger. He seems to be a shooter. Those guys can probably last a little bit longer. I don't know. I think that, again, it just depends on what you think your window is.
Beasley's interesting. Like, I mean, it's I said preseason, I thought he was going to be the first guy off the Jazz.
I didn't think he'd make it to training camp. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he'd be the first person to be traded. And I kind of still think, because his value is still pretty high. Like, I'm somebody's out there is looking at him. And again, if the Jazz are looking to, you know, get the most of their assets, he's up there because he's still playing pretty well. He's not going to be a star, right? He's not a superstar, but he's going to go somewhere and be a really good bench player on a
championship
team. I mean, I agree with that. If the Jazz are really serious about trading Vince away and stuff, I do think he would be somebody on their end. But it's going to, again, it has to be a good offer. Like, it can't just be like a couple second round picks. It's got to be something of substance. And he's come in, and a lot of people preseason thought, like, and maybe I don't know what their motivations were, but they were like, oh, this guy, you know, he doesn't fit the Jazz culture. He doesn't fit this team. He'll be out of here. Da, 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 da. And
yeah, I don't know. I haven't Googled it yet, but obviously they mentioned even the broadcasting times, he had some off the court issues of some kind. Yeah. I need to figure out, I guess, look it up, because they've been pretty praiseworthy of his owning up to his mistakes and trying to be better. But I've got no idea what I haven't taken the time to look it up. So
we do try to live in a society that allows for second chances. So unless your name is Miles Bridges, you can just rot in hell. So
well, no, he's getting a second chance. They dropped that news, you know, Friday before Christmas. I don't necessarily love Woj. I think you get some undue criticism from Jazz fans when they seem to love others who are doing the same, but that was a pretty shitty Woj move to be the speaker for that on a Friday, so it's hard to justify that one. But
Woj getting paid.
All right. Yeah. A lot of some of the vocal people would be doing the same team thing, same thing too. Anyways, I'll stop. But
preseason,
Mike Connolly's three on my trade list of guys that need to go. Okay. And I honestly, just whatever you can get. Like, let's move on. I don't even care. As long as you don't have to take, we don't have to absorb something bad. You know, as long as we can just break even.
Yeah. I mean, would you do Conley and some other piece or pieces in that Lakers trade for Russell Westbrook and picks?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like that'd be a win for us because we'd get picks and then Russ is off the books next year, right? Which may or may not be. I guess it doesn't matter for us. Salary cap doesn't matter for us right now.
Not for us. The salary cap doesn't matter. But, it won't matter for free agents, but it does matter for bringing in other contracts a la Derek Favors and taking picks in that way. So in that sense, yes, it does. So, you weren't able to join us for our preseason. Like, where do we think the Jazz rank? What teams have surprised you from the beginning of the year to now?
What teams have surprised me?
Yeah, the Pelicans. I didn't think the Pelicans could be first.
I called the Pelicans a two and took a lot of shit for it. So
yeah,
I don't know how serious you can take it because I haven't had anything that's really surprised me. I think that everyone's kind of landed where they were. I think maybe Sacramento not being in the play-in and kind of being more firmly in the top six is a little surprising, but I think the rest of it shakes out. I think there was, as we've all kind of called for a while, Phoenix has got enough turmoil to keep them,
spot. My one good call, that Sacramento Kings is my one good call. So, the Warriors and Timberwolves, some of us were divided on where we thought the Warriors and Timberwolves, those guys are down a little bit, the Lakers.
Yeah, I didn't expect the Warriors to be there, but I think a healthy Warriors will get back fine, too, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
maybe the Warriors be shitty for a year again, then they get Wemby, and then they just have this good pattern of just being like, fuck, we're not going to do anything this year. Let's just sit everyone for another year, and then they get maybe the first overall pick, and we'll all be fucked forever.
That's a smart way to play if you're the Warriors. And you know what?
They've
done it
successfully. Successfully. I don't know. Those young guys haven't turned out to be shit yet, so maybe they didn't. It was a smart move, but we don't know if it's paid off
because
Moody, Cumbucket, and Wiseman have not shown much at all.
Cumbucket.
That's a nickname I saw Warriors Twitter give him, not me.
So yeah, I still love it. In the East, the East is kind of there's a little bit of hodgepodge. The Pistons are bad, obviously. The Bulls, the Hawks. I mean, there's a lot of mid teams right now in the NBA. Even in the West, Pelicans, Nuggets, Grizzlies have 22 wins. That's only three more than the Jazz. So I don't know. It's nothing really solid here in December. Everybody was like, after 20 games, you know who your team is. I don't know we know a lot about these teams after 40 games. The Jazz are only
It feels like we've been using games. That for a while though, that the Jazz are only this far back from first, but we've been firmly in 9 through 12 for a while. There really hasn't been much movement though. We keep referencing that everyone's this close, but no one's really changing. Drastically, right? No one's plummeting and going up and down. It's kind of I guess in the East, the Nets and the Philly have kind of played much better, and Milwaukee's dropped a little bit. But it's weird.
Gotta love that for the Jazz draft pick of the Nets. And the Jazz they'll do that. They'll go into the Jazz are very mid. The Blazers very mid. Right now, the Warriors and Timberwolves, injuries, so they're mid as well. You mentioned the Suns turmoil. Luka and the Mavericks are on a 5-game win streak, but they've had losing streaks before that too. So Luka has no help
because they're still in the play-in right now too, right? Because they can't get. Did they squeak into six now?
They're six right now.
So, yeah, they were hanging. They were doing the same thing that Jazz were dropping between 7 and 12 depending on the day. So
everybody keeps saying, the NBA is wide open. The NBA is wide open right now, but. Maybe if you make a move, you can win maybe this year. I don't know. I don't know if the Jazz are, in my opinion, they're not good enough to win this year. But, the West is wide open, the NBA is pretty wide open right now. Nobody feels dominant. But, we're in a position where some teams are eventually going to be like, all right, cool. We want to set up for the next 10 years in this draft, right? And I don't know. You say you watch games. You understand the need for tanking, but you cannot cheer for the Jazz to tank while watching the games. Even though afterwards you kind of have like clarity, like, you know what, maybe that wasn't a good win, or that loss wasn't as bad as it seemed.
It's slowly grinding on me as we get through. Like the last week has been tough to watch. I was again kind of holding off judgment to see how they survived the homestand and a couple other things. They've been so up and down to even like the last couple of games. Like it was really irritating to lose to the G League team, which still is always going to sting, but it's also kind of like, just kind of a reassurance that this team just isn't, they're not great. Like right. You said, that's true. The West is more open than it's ever been. There are no dominant teams like of our youth or even of our 20s and even of 5 years ago where it felt like they were unbeatable. No one feels unbeatable, but the Jazz are also just not even good enough, though, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't
I mean, that's like, great we're making a comment about what's going on around us, but that doesn't mean we're included in that group. So, yeah, maybe there's
right.
Instead of a year of three contenders, there's eight, but we're still not one of those eight. We just aren't, so it doesn't matter.
It comes out to like short-term gains versus long-term gains. Like a win feels good in that short term. Like, okay, like, hey, the Jazz won a game. It was exciting. You know, the buzzer beater against the Warriors. All that stuff feels good for that moment. But then, you know, here we are now, you know, right before New Year's Eve, the Jazz at 19-18, like, oh boy, those wins don't feel that good anymore. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things that we're giving up long-term gains for. Even if the Jazz have a great – even if the Jazz, like, on the second round series this year, it feels like it's going to hurt them in the long run. And so the short-term gains is hurting the long-term gains. So
just a few times about teams setting up for 10 years of success, and it circles to my Lori point, too, a little bit. I don't believe that exists anymore. I'll give you the tanking piece. You need to go after the superstars. But I don't think you have 10-year windows anymore. Guys aren't willing to stick around for that long, especially in Utah. I think we've seen it. We even picked up a couple of guys who were not supposed to be there. So I think the Jazz have to be on a different schedule. I don't think you can count on 10 years of anything. So I guess that's where I get back to Lori. Like, I think if you're going to try to, even if the Jazz lose every game now, we get Wemby or we get Scoot or one of these other twins or the thousand other people. I mean, there's new names every day that people claim they've been scouting for years. I mean, whatever. But, you know, these guys aren't, you know, you can't guarantee anything past 5 years. So that's why Lori, to me, fits in that. Your attempt at it, I don't think that exists. There are no more Tim Duncans. I think that Giannis may be the exception. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of weird that we lump all foreign-born players into being willing to stay. Milwaukee still is a considerably bigger and more diverse market than Utah is, and it's also very close to Chicago, and they've also won championships and MVPs, and he's one of the faces of the NBA. So, I mean, it's funny how we make those connections that if we land one of the foreign-born players like Wemby, that he's going to suddenly stick. So, it's a long rant to say that I don't know that you I think that's one of our traditional things that we think about, but I don't think that exists anymore. I don't know that anyone will ever do that again. So
that's fair. You know, put this in the notebook as like stuff like talk about like trying to keep guys too and plans, and
because you've mentioned it with SGA, like how long till SGA loses this shit.
Right.
You know,
and that feels like a longer point that we probably should explore more. You know, so those are some teams that but the Jazz, obviously surprising to at least me. You didn't get a chance to give a Jazz win count.
I did on Twitter. I said the Jazz. Okay. I said watch the Jazz will fuck around and win 35 games, and the Spurs will get Wemby. The Spurs and the Pacers will battle for Wemby. So I was wrong on the Pacers piece, but everything else is pretty dead accurate. So
I mean that's we talked about, and I think I said on Twitter, I said in text, I may have said on this podcast, I'm like, I think the Jazz are dumb enough to go win 30 games, and looks like they are, you know. So I was hoping it's – I had called this team pretty bad preseason. They had looked at a couple of preseason games. I didn't think that, you know, having a group of just like kind of like these weird, you know, mid players, maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Like they have a bunch of players that are sort of mid. Not that they're bad. I mean, kind of, I say mid and it sounds bad, but I mean, none of them are great superstars, but they're all okay players. And the Jazz have an okay record. So
it's the Riley and Utah Jazz man 47-3. They had too many NBA rotation players to be bad.
I pretty much whipped on it. Maybe I was just being wishful thinking, I guess, with a new head coach, everything I thought. But You know, the Jazz are 19-18, and it looks like, I mean, if I had to guess right now, they're probably going to end up 42 wins, 41 wins. So right at the 500 mark. Good for them.
This is a loaded question, but, or maybe we don't have the answer because we kind of just, in the very beginning, but this is the pot of contradictions. So we said, you know, I threw out that Danny Ainge may not trade anyone because he has control of these guys and many of these guys for even more favorable deals next year. What does it take for the Jazz to, like, because it would, as much as it's the smart thing to do, I don't know that Ryan Smith has the, or whoever's making the calls has the balls to just blow it all up with the team doing this. You know, like, what does it take to get him there? That's the thing, is we're hoping for, like, a Tank Notes hoping for like a 7 or 8 game losing streak. Like, I mean, the trade deadline is what, middle of February? So we're about to start January in a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, what would it take for him to actually be able to pull it off? Because I feel like if they're still meddling in this area, he can't do it, right? Like, I understand he wants to, but I don't think he can, right? I mean, or I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, we saw the first level of Danny Ainge by, you know, shipping out Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. So, I mean, there's another level. Like, all right, cool. Now that you built, you know, because trading Donovan and Rudy was actually sort of the easy part. Once you once you got an offer for Rudy, it all was really easy because the fans at that point had accepted. Like, you know, you had come off this awful year. And fans were like, they were understanding. We were all understanding, like, oh, boy, this sucks for the Jazz. But, yeah, we need to trade because this team wasn't going anywhere. A lot of us accepted that.
Yeah, even the biggest lovers of the team, you know, even in their quietest voices would accept that it just was done with this group.
Right.
Some of us may like to see different attempts at it, but yeah, once you pulled the Rudy trade, or if you would have pulled the Don trigger first, either one, once you pulled one, I mean, you had to get the Rudy one out of the way the first because he just absolutely bent him over. But
yeah, I think the hard part is, like, you know, this is a fun team. And can you pull that away from the fans? That's the hard part. Like, hey, look, we have a plan. You know, you have to trust me on this. I know this is not a popular thing to do, but we also have to make sure we end up in the lottery. Even if it's like the 8th pick, you know, like he has an idea of what he wants to do. So,
we'll see. They've kind of gotten back into this spot. Where it's like, I mean, because even, the, I mean, the schedule, I mean, we made the jokes about how Danny Ainge may have paid off the NBA to give him that schedule because no one could have predicted they would have responded as well as they did early on. I mean, that, was it 12-3 was just, with that schedule was absurd. And that did irreparable damage to the tank. Like, it just, you could never put that, and you were the first one on it. You just can't put that back in. It almost feels like they sometimes feel like they're backed into the theory of just add more talent and go for a John Collins. And then just go with the bites of the apple theory, right? Is like, you know, we know that the odds greatly favor that all-stars are in those top 3 picks, right? And they increase greatly, but we've got all these picks. So hopefully we can hit on one of the other 3, right? Like, we know the odds aren't. So, I mean, sometimes it feels like the more the Jazz stay competitive, they're almost backed into that. And I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. It seems like you can't just go out there and do it, right? You can't.
Right. And this is why I said something like I called it loser mentality. And I think you misinterpreted what I said, because I said the people who are happy just kind of playing it out, like, oh, you know, hey, we win a game, cool. If we lose a game, whatever. Like, we're just like, I think that's bad GMing. Like, I mean, if you're Danny Ainge, you don't just play it out. Like, you should have a plan. Like, okay, we want this many games, but it doesn't matter. The plan was to do this. Like, you need to continue with your plan. And if your plan is to, you know, be a fifth seed, then fine, do that. Go make that John Collins trade because he makes your team better. Go do something, right? Do something. Just right now, we're just kind of sitting in this holding pattern. And that's what's frustrating me, is that, you know, like, okay, cool. I was on board with what they had previously done. I was on board with, all right, cool. We're gonna blow this up because we're gonna have to rebuild from scratch. And I was on board with that, but now it's like, what are we doing? Are you going to let that first 15 games, like, change your plan? Like, that's, again, I think it's short-term thinking. Like, all right, cool. You had a fun 15 games. That was fun 15, 20 games. Great. But your main goal shouldn't be deterred by what happened in those first 20 games, unless you change your mind and go, oh, wait, no, we actually have something. We have way better assets, you know, than we thought, and now we need to make a move. So what I called loser mentality was the sitting around going, eh, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, that was just me using the DJ Honeypaw's rule of Twitter to try to create controversy. I didn't wholeheartedly believe that. I was trying to get people fired up. Look,
I
do wonder though if they had to pivot though, because I mean, they just, because there's no way even the most optimistic version of that front office could have looked at, especially like you said, the preseason was terrible. The guys have been together for 3 days. There's no way they could have seen that schedule. Like, yeah, we're gonna go 12-3 here, and so like you can't rightfully look at this team in your mind and be like, okay, this is a contending team. But can you look at it now and say, okay, maybe there's more than what we thought? Because there's no way even people foresaw Lori being what he was going to be, or even Kessler being as good this early. Like, there's no way they saw these pieces fitting this well. So it's like, okay,
Kelly O.
Yeah, so I also think to some degree you're not doing your due diligence either by saying, okay, maybe we did find some diamonds. Like, I don't know, that they have to at least hold a meeting to think about it, you know, which is not something I think any of them thought was going to happen. And now maybe I don't know, that's what makes me, again, where you are now, where there's been enough, I guess, legitimate enough evidence to explore that idea, that maybe now that the longer they wait, the more they keep staying in this weird area, right? Like,
yeah,
like, I don't know.
Because
you have to do it. You have to be responsible too, and be like, okay, this team is maybe not as bad as we thought. Maybe these guys are better than we thought. And what are our other options when really we didn't think this is going to be even an issue? So I don't know, but each day just makes it harder and harder to do it, because now the fans are getting more invested, the players are getting closer, mm-hmm. and then it's just not going to be a good look to, I don't know. They need to figure out something quick, because they are flirting with what you said, which is we don't have a plan.
Yeah. And that's the frustrating part for me, is that 37 games in, like, I look at this Jazz team and I'm pessimistic. I've always said that. I'm a pessimistic Jazz fan, but I just don't see it. I don't see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was a Spurs game for me. And I think what's his name, Connor on the Twitter, said the same thing. He's like, I don't know what it is, but something. But it wasn't like the Spurs game was an especially bad one, but after that loss, it's like, we don't have a plan, do we? Like, we just don't. Like, we don't.
Yeah, so
we don't have a plan. We're just kind of, this is unexpected, and the front office wasn't ready for it. And again, the coaches and players are doing everything they're supposed to, but I don't think the front office is ready for this, and they don't know what to do with it, because you can't just now gut the team for no reason. And again, you got to wait on the right deals. You can't be
right.
bought, right?
I hope there's more of like a time issue. Like, we have to wait till December 15th for a big majority of players to be traded, that could be traded again. And then January 15th is like almost everybody in the league is able to be traded at that point. So maybe like it's one of those.
Everyone
like
but LeBron is the thing, right? And the only person that can be traded this year is LeBron James.
So that's sort of like maybe we're just waiting for dates. I don't know. So,
which I think LeBron is regretting now.
we talk about all these trades, but you know, let's go back to the Donovan and Rudy trades that we talked about in the summer when they happened. Like, I mean, I think you and I both said, "Boy, that Cavs trade looks a lot better than the Rudy Gobert trade." How do you feel? Like, you feel that?
Yeah, we were some of the few. Everyone was telling us that the Knicks package was so much better and that the Rudy package was so much better. But I think I still think the Cavs package is better. I think that Sexton and Markkanen. Sorry. I mean, Markkanen alone wins the trade, right? And Sexton. I'm still not sure what to make of Sexton. I still am terrified of him, but I like what he brings.
Sexton is sort of who we thought. Well, maybe I because
well, I guess again, I'd ask is Sexton better than anyone we got from the Wolves? And I would probably say maybe. So
yeah.
I mean,
like, Sexton's not him. Like, I mean, when my coworker kept saying that he's him, I'm like, he's not him. He's a fine player, but he's not him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's an okay, and he turned out to be. I think he's an okay player. Like,
yeah, and even Abaji in his very limited minutes has been
right,
you know, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of Jazz fans right now kind of get still wrapped up in the Wolves because Kessler's been so good. We like to do this. We've got this weird boner fetish. It's probably passed down from generation to generation about centers because we could never get one. And Ronnie Cicely and Ulster Tag. And so
when
we got this, Tyson Chandler elite and Rudy Gobert. We idolized him as a god when he never really was. I can't go to a podcast without getting some Rudy slander out of my system. And I've got plenty for later, but so I mean, Kessler's been good. I don't know what his ceiling is. I think that Beasley and Vanderbilt have proven to be solid rotational players, but yep. I could be convinced that Laurie and even maybe Laurie definitely better than Sexton even maybe. So we got better players. THT, yep. Pat Bev turned out to be a massive wash because THT doesn't even play anymore. I mean, he's going to be on the Jazz next year because he's got a beautiful contract that gets him paid. But
yep.
I think that he's on the way out. I know that we get really horny for those Wolves picks right now because they're immediate. But I still mm-hmm. think that, I mean, the Cavs ones are down the road, which is when we don't know what happens. So I think,
right.
I mean, I think we got the better players, and I think the picks, yeah, maybe the 2020, the first Cavs one was what, 2025, I think, right?
Yeah, so that year the Jazz will have the Cavs, the Wolves, and the Jazz on pick.
Yeah, so it's like 25, 27, 29, and if the NBA has shown us anything and Donovan has shown us anything, they can't possibly predict what's going to be going on in Cleveland. And when Cleveland falls, they fall hard. So I still think that, you know, the picks come out as a wash because I think that the Wolves will be bad sooner. And I don't know, I think we got the better players, so I still feel.
But the Wolves better package got better in your eyes from the beginning of the year.
Yeah, like,
you still had the Cavs, but that Wolves package. Mm-hmm. No, because we there were a bunch of unknowns, and they tried to be like, all right, cool, you got a bunch of rotational pieces for a player that you don't think it was even worth it. Like Rudy Gobert probably was not worth four rotation players and five picks or four picks or whatever it was. So
this will be actually a rare Rudy compliment. Rudy's actually catching some strays, I think, for Donovan because Donovan's playing out of his mind right now. But I think if the Donovan trade were to happen alone in a vacuum for the Jazz, I think there'd be a lot of people saying, oh my God, look what the Jazz got mm-hmm. for Donovan Mitchell. And especially five to six years from like, oh my God, that was a really bad trade that the Cavaliers made. But right now, because Rudy's just been so, just there's a number of reasons. If I need to explain to you why the Rudy trade's bad, then. You probably go listen to like a crime podcast about how your wife's gonna murder you in your sleep or some shit because this is not the
one for you.
So some
of our thoughts have we evolved. You know, it's okay to change your mind, right? We evolved mm-hmm. in our and some things have mostly been positive from the summer. That's why I also don't like make like, oh, this is what I think about forever. Like, no, things can change.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Either way, I think that Danny has just really kicked. I mean, they kicked the shit out of those trades, and that's the thing that's weird. Sometimes they say you got to wait on these trades. Well, right now we just got to wait on these trades to see if they get even better, which is wild. We already won them this season, and they're only going to get better from here, right? So,
yeah, I mean, especially when we take into account that Donovan. Still, we don't know. If Donovan is supposed for New York in 25. My God. This trade looks just so much better, right? So
there's no way Donovan Mitchell staying in Cleveland in 2025. Like he's going somewhere. Either he's going to be washed up and nobody wants him, or if Donovan continues on his trajectory or stays at this level, he's not staying in Cleveland. Yeah, he's just not.
Sacramento King.
He'll finally Mitchell. Get to be a free agent. You know, finally get to see that and feel that, right. And he'll want to experience it and blah blah blah.
Yeah, speaking of catching stray, I mean, like, we got some, yeah, Donovan and Rudy have left Utah. You know, they still have fans here, but it is funny how a lot of people were talking about watching all these Cavaliers game and Timberwolves games, and I don't see as much of that talk anymore. I'm 37 games this season. What kind of Donovan Rudy thoughts do you have when they're gone?
I coincidentally got league pass at the same time. They were selling for $50 on Black Friday, so I gave a lot of people shit for watching a lot of Warriors and I mean Wolves and Cavs. I probably watch more Wolves and Cavs and Pelicans than anyone else. So it's just, I guess that's me being a hypocrite. But what else is new? But I do.
Yeah, you're a sick man.
It wouldn't be this podcast if we didn't get into the hot juicy gossip because they both have had some. And some of this news isn't recent, but they both had some very interesting. Situations take place as Rudy made his return to Utah. You know, got his ovation, got his love, which everyone anticipated, and then he had his little dunk at the end. Which I'm not here to defend, but no, I'm not here to take a side on if he should or shouldn't, because some people have pushed back that, you know, they shouldn't have been pressing and Beasley had no place to get in there and the unwritten rules aren't played in. That's fine. I get all of that. I completely get all that. At the end of the day, Rudy knew what he was fucking doing when he did that. If you watch the replay, he has the ball, he pauses for a second, and he knew exactly what he was doing, and he did it. And that's fine. Just he was being a bitch about it. Just know that he's a bitch about it, okay? And that's that he chose to do that. He's perfectly justified that because they shipped him out. He said he wanted to be here. Again, I'm willing to accept all those reasons, but do not give me this hoops people can need to jump through to justify him. And Beasley's our guy now. Beasley's probably in the wrong because he's pressing before that. But guess what? He's our guy now. So take our guy's side. So that was obnoxious. And then, you know, there may have been a tweet or so. There may have been a conspicuous tweet that Mr. Rudy Gobert liked on the Twitter sphere that, you know, you can form your own judgment. You can form your own judgments on that. All I will say is that a lot of the folks who have been very vocal defenders of Rudy, you know, wouldn't stand for that from other people. So
right.
I guess I'll leave it at that. But it was just it's been interesting.
Is it up there with the John Stockton has a list of 1,000 names of people who've died?
Yeah, you know, the good news about John Stockton is I get to use one of my first ever Photoshops, which is the famous John Stockton shot, but I changed it to the COVID ball. So yeah, I have to dig through it to find it. But no, that's the Rudy stuff. Do you have any Rudy thoughts, or I always jump dirty in this, but I understand you probably got to be cleaner about this than I have to be. So
I do, but Rudy just is what it is. Like, I don't get bothered when I see people are just, like, bothered by Rudy scoring, and I'm like, really? I'm like, guys, whatever. Like, and maybe it's just the whole Jazz. Like, this whole Jazz season as a whole, I'm just like, the game's on in the background. Like, I just don't care about this fucking team. I don't. And so it makes it hard for me to be on this, like, to want to, like, contact you guys to do a podcast. And, like, I do not want to talk about them. I don't. And I don't feel like I have a duty, but I'm like, you know, there's some fun things to talk about, and I like that part. I like the Discord that you and I have. But
yeah, once we get on here, it's fun and enjoyable. But it's hard to find the motivation to want to do it.
Right,
it's like,
just yeah,
you ask, so, like, you want to do them all? I'm like, sure, we can. Then I'm like, I don't want to do this tonight.
Some would say we find some interesting things to
kick around. But
some would say it's draining to do this
podcast. It is draining. I guess that's our next point, which is Donovan always had, we all know Donovan was very tactful and creative in the way he did a lot of his things, and it was just there was a lot of stuff that came, you know, there's just stories that kept dropping. Again, I'm not a Donovan hater, but, you know, he was making it really hard, and this is barring the last comments, because some of the kickback on the last one was just, you know, I don't like to throw the racist card out there freely, but some of it was blatantly that. Based upon some of the stuff he said. But anyways, some of the comments before, let's take the last ones out. But the ones before that about being happy, and the really weird one about those things happen. I get it. It seemed unnecessary. The one where I was kind of like, okay, Donovan gets what he deserves now was the Mavericks one. I feel grateful that the Mavericks took me out, because now I'm here. That was like the really weird, unnecessary one where, you know, like, it just, you know, again, I don't, I say Don gets what's coming to why within reason. I don't believe that anyone should be subjected to any sort of violence, hate, or racism. I'm just saying, but he is, if you've got some people who just don't like him and want to be pissed off and hurt and upset by him and want to boo him based upon strictly his basketball abilities and feeling like he quit and gave up on the team, and then that's justified in my mind. And I've got a whole nother rant on booing. And then he did this story where he basically just called out what some people, you know, floated on the internet, which was, you know, living in the state of Utah and the drain being on there, and some of the racial things that have happened, and even him being the subject of scrutiny by some public officials and taking some pretty gnarly heat for it. I can't blame him for, you know, not wanting to be here. I think it's a very tricky area to define and walk through and discuss. And being a white man, I'm not qualified to talk on all of it or any of that part, actually. But, you know, there were things on the court that also happened that caused people frustration. And so sorting that out is the tricky part, because it almost felt like you got lumped into a category where if you didn't like Donovan, you were a racist. And I don't believe that's true. I think that he did enough on the court that caused people to be, and he said enough things before that that had people be justified in their frustrations with him. But then there was some of the things that happened with his trying to downplay his experiences and what was going on, that where it just, you know, a lot of people were exposed. So it became very weird and toxic for a while. And then the day after that happens, his ex-girlfriend throws a tweet out there that all of a sudden makes Don not look so fresh and wonderful.
Oh,
and
man. Like, it's
the same folks, who were calling, you know, calling people out for not being Don fans were suddenly having right. to reshift because they, you know, also don't stand for what she called him out on. So it just, it was very, I don't know. I don't want to pick the wrong word here, like, but it was just a very interesting couple of days.
I don't know,
I don't want to pick a word because I don't have a word. I'm not trying to hold back. I just don't know what the word is. But it was very. They both continue to stay in the headlines, I guess, even outside of Utah. I guess someone summed it up well. They weren't even referencing these things, but they said it's just nice not to have to defend these guys anymore after every game. So I guess that's the silver lining.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just Jazz fans, but around here, it just feels like. A lot of persecution complexes. Somebody said, I was like, yes. Donovan says something like, no offense to Utah. He literally says no offense to Utah, but he's happy. And that's a very innocuous comment. It doesn't really mean anything. But then all these Jazz fans just go, oh, what does he mean? And here's the thing. Even if he just didn't say anything about Utah at all, he can't say, if he says, I'm happy now, the same fans that are mad at him for saying Utah would still be mad at him.
I definitely get that part, but I think where I started to not quite feel like it felt like the Jazz fans were, like you said, persecution complex, and they were the jealous ex. But after it kept, after the third or fourth story came out and the Mavericks one hit, the Maverick quotes, I'm like, wait a second, are we sure he's not also the despiteful ex too? He started to tread into that territory because the Mavericks one was it was the third or fourth one. And it was really weird. It was unnecessary. No one was even going to ask that question. It was just, I don't think anyone, even if they did, that was a long leap to make. And it was just, Don's very crafted in what he says. And so he did it on purpose. And
maybe it's just you and I have, we've had behind the scenes stories and that we know that, hey, I'm sorry that NBA players aren't all I'm learning about 95% of NBA players and how they're not squeaky clean. And you know what? Unfortunately, it is what it is. And for me to enjoy the sport, I have to separate that from the sport. It's like watching football. You have to separate the dirtiness of billionaire owners and what these guys do in their spare time, because they're not role models. They're just here to play a game that I want to watch, and it's very rare to watch games where guys batter women and, abuse kids and, do all this violent stuff and all right, well, I'm going to watch you guys score points and cheer about it. And, unfortunately we have to make our own mind judgments about how we separate.
It's interesting to sort out where that line is. Cause sometimes some things just feel like they are the line of the point of no return, right? You say that, but I don't think you're going to be cheering for Bridges if he's traded the Jazz. I think there's some of those folks who they definitely reach a line and you can't come back from it. It's just we all have that line, or maybe we don't have that line. I don't know.
I hope we do at least because but Deshaun Watson playing in Cleveland and people happy about it. It's just very weird and it's hard, and we all have to make that line for ourselves. So that's a bummer note to end on Logan.
No, I've got some more uplifting or at least funny ones anyways. Right. But let me see what I've got.
Yeah,
I gotta scroll through some of my stuff here.
I know we haven't had talking in a month, so this is a good catching up
here. It's been a while now because he's been back. He's been playing the first halves and he's been on the court in the second half, anyways. But if you remember, Laurie was out for an extended period of time with an illness. They said, my theory is this: around the same time, there was a bunch of they kept showing it on the broadcast. There was a bunch of Finnish basketball fans who were. They'd show them for three or four. It was during the homestand. They'd show them every time Laurie would do something, they'd zoom in on it. So my theory is, the homestand ended and Laurie got sick. I believe that he probably participated in an orgy and some mono was exchanged with the super fans. And that's why he was out. Completely outdated, but it's been that long since we've been on here. Let's see here.
That's good.
I had a fun thought activity, God forbid it's never Rudy Gobert's fault. It's always someone else's, he just doesn't have the right team, the right system, the right coach. Whereas Finch, I think, was what a pleasant surprise as a coach last year. Look what he's finally done with the Wolves. And now it's he's an idiot because he can't figure out how to use this unique player. So obviously the Quinn rumors are swirling around again. And I just want to think about one thing. I want to think about Anthony Edwards in a Quinn Snyder quote-unquote controlled locker room. That should be fucking fantastic. If there's something Quinn has no control over, it's a locker room. So think about that for a little while.
Let Minnesota deal with that drama. We had enough of that in 2021.
Let me save this one for last. Let me see here. I'm going to say this now because Jared's not on the podcast. The famous JC square up that took place that everyone is first of all, this is going to be a JC call out. I'm not a JC hater. I just want to call it how I see it. You know, we've kind of immortalized JC in this square up pose, right? You know what I'm,
talking about? That and the dunk, right? The square up against cum bucket and then the dunk. So
the dunk was fine. Dunk was fantastic. There's nothing wrong with JC in the dunk. But let's talk about the square up for a second, because if you watch the different angles, he squares up and it's a very brief, like if you have to pause at the right moment, it's like he's standing like that for a long period of time. He throws his hands up real quick. And when he does that, Cum Bucket's laughing at him. So it's just, I saw that and I just can't help but I think it needs to be stated. It's only going to make people hate me more. But I love JC, but it was a little bit of fake tough guy stuff because you have to get it down to the millisecond to show him with that square up pose. It's like the way you see it on Twitter, you think he was squaring up for 10 minutes ready to go. No, it was like a half of a second, right? And when he does it, Moody's laughing, and then all of a sudden JC kind of changes his body language. Again, he stood up to him. He didn't take a lot of shit, but it definitely was not this I'm ready to throw down type of situation.
It's not like the Jokic's versus the Morris's.
No, it was nothing like that. It was nothing like what we saw in the Magic and the. I don't even know the players' names well enough. I know there was 17. Killian Hayes,
Wagner. Yeah.
Yeah, Wagner. Evidently, there's 17 Wagners who played because I thought how they spent Wagner twice.
They're brothers.
His brothers on the team with him. I'm like, hey, so we got a two gamer and a one gamer, huh? But
Mullen fans, go ahead.
I don't remember what it was, but Jared came to have JC's corner, and I don't remember who he was interacting with. He was talking to one of his, he's big out there in the California basketball community. He was talking to one of his buddies. Now I want to say it was Black Magic, because he was kind of giving some shit to JC about squaring up, and you know what, Jared didn't think anyone saw it. But I saw Jared kissing some warrior ass, and he wasn't taking JC's side. I can't remember what exactly he said. I should have screenshotted it, but we can go back and find it. He thought no one was looking at him, but I saw his little. I saw him turning on JC and kissing some warrior ass. The last thing I've got, which is just basically what we've always thought about, is our guy Mark was at the Warriors game last night. He did the Les Olsen thing. And in his Les Olsen tweet, he had the Jazz Pod Co-op hashtag, and he had the twos and threes hashtag, and the take note. And they put him on TV, and they cleverly cut out the twos and threes and Jazz Pod Co-op hashtag. So, as we always thought, David Locke is afraid. He hears the footsteps. There's a pretty good thread about us talking shit about David Locke being afraid and sending over Ron Boone to do his dirty work for him afterwards. But it was disappointing, and then it was kind of reassuring that we do make David Locke that nervous that he had to get it, cut off of TV. That's a hell of a thing to do. So
I have a David Locke story. One of my coworkers was on the radio with David Locke, doing a interview segment. And he goes, well, my friend, this is like the Jazz are 12-5 still, right? 13-5, whatever. They're still top two in the West or whatever it was. And then, I have a friend that doesn't think what the Jazz are doing is the right way to go. The Jazz probably still need to do the tank thing. And David Locke goes, does your friend not like to have fun? I'm like, it's not anything about fun, David. It's more about what sets you up for, the next couple years. Again, it's a short-term game versus long-term game. And I was like, David Locke, I probably said some choice words, but I won't mention him here because, he actually is technically a coworker. So, but yeah, so
that is right. David Locke will change his tune on it once they start tanking. He'll tell us that it's the best thing that ever happened. See Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell comments.
Can you believe that Mark of the twos and threes lost to a baby? Like, come on. Come on, man.
Giving birth, I guess, is the
way
to go.
I told
Do we even know if that lady was really giving birth, or is he ever just in a dungeon somewhere, like an unfinished basement in like an old, like in an old, Scrooge cover? Yeah, like that, we don't even know that's true. Like they're saying that, but I don't know if I believe it or not.
All right, Mark, next time to up that, do it in the conception of the baby. I'm a conception stage. Set a picture of the conception stage.
How it started, how it's
yeah,
going.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, so yeah.
Well, in Utah, they have so many kids they birth at home anyway, so it's not even that big of a deal. It probably was just their basement.
We got anything for Marnie's? I feel like we haven't done a podcast in a long time. We haven't, but anybody?
I don't have any specific shout-outs. I probably should have just looped in all of what I just said in the produce corner because it's very produce corner esque. But
right, yeah, lots of like little quick hitters.
I think Twitter's just been really weird. I don't know if, like, I can't tell if people just don't want to interact with it anymore, or if, like, we've theorized before when the Jazz are kind of meh, no one cares. But I'm also not seeing other people's tweets either, though. So I don't know. It's been kind of weird the last week or so. It's just
maybe it's
hard
like
to find people engaging.
I wonder if management has changed. So I don't know. Maybe Twitter management has changed or something. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't super popular on Twitter before anyway. So,
no, there's definitely people. I joked about it today that I'm pretty sure I was already muted by 90% of Twitter anyways. But we had a small little group of cult followers. We never did. You know, our sticks weren't as popular as some. But it just seems like there's nothing out there. Usually there was some stuff I could shoot out there to generate two or three responses. Now just. It's like crickets out there. And I've seen a lot of people saying the same thing, like this if you see me or are you there? And so it's just, I know this happens sometimes, but it seems like almost everybody wants. I'm not even there to complain about the advertisements. I mean, we've all been on social media long enough to know that advertisements are just a part of our life. Hey, guess what? You don't want to pay for Twitter? Well, then deal with the fucking advertisements. Keep on scrolling. Stop bitching about it. That's the one that gets me. Don't complain. It is what it is. I'm not paying for Twitter. No, look at all these fucking ads. Okay.
it's a very weird thing where people are like, oh, you don't pay for something, and then they go find a way to get paid. They're like, oh, well, why'd you do that? Like, because you won't pay for it. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, just get in 17 group chats with various members of Jazz Twitter like Jared does, and then you won't have to even rely on the social media.
I wonder what his job is. I've never asked. Like, he's like, oh, I got a new job, so I won't be here on Thursday nights. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you know what? I want to say, I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to capture this in, because we've been known to be like ahead of the curve on a lot of things. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and I'm sorry to go so morbid on it, but I thought, I haven't heard from Jared in the text. I haven't seen him on Twitter. I'm like, I know Jared didn't die, but I thought, and then he appeared like right after I thought about him. So I was like, okay, he's like, he senses. But I thought, I started thinking to myself, what would happen like if you died and like your family has no idea who your Twitter friends are? Like, they would just never know to, like, notify them. And there should be, like, some sort of app or some sort of system that's set up to, like, it sounds really morbid, but, like, if something bad happens, like, there's these whole communities of people that, like, my family doesn't know. They know I'm on there, but I would like to think that there's people that would want to know if something bad happened to me that, you know, they would never know because they don't know. And I thought, I can't imagine, I don't know anything about Jared's family. I don't know who they are.
Right.
Like, I consider Jared a close friend. Like if something bad happened to Jared, if something bad happened to you, I may never know because I very loosely know your brothers, but like, Vu still pretends to not know who I am on Instagram, but you know, other than that, I mean, then again,
it reminds me of the story. Like, so my dad had major surgery. My dad was near death, like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he had this like major surgery and, you know, like it was like a year and a half later, I get this random text from Logan. You know, good friend Logan. You know, he was like, "Hey man, heard about your dad. You know, I just want to say I'm thinking about you, man. Like I'm, you know, it sucks." And I was like, it was just like a random like Thursday night or something. And I like had to like check to see if my dad was okay because I'm like, wait a minute, what happened? I was like, okay, cool, thanks, man. I was like, there's something happy. He's like, oh, no, I just heard. I'm like, oh. Like you heard about it, like, oh, that's been going on for like 2 years.
Yeah, so. Long time late. Yeah. I wasn't really on social media, and I'm sure I heard about it secondhand through, it had to be like Matt or something. Right. It had to be Matt. That's like, the only common thread.
Right. Like, you know, you were, and like, that's when I was at Utah State, you were in Ogden still. So, it's just one of those things that, but yeah, like, you're right. Like, you know, I guess what I do know, DJ Honeypaws, I do know, I think we have enough common, like, I mean, maybe you need to know more of my threads, but I know enough of your threads that I can let people know.
Yeah. I'm just saying like, it's just weird because there are folks out there. Like, there's a lot of folks on Twitter that I would consider friends that I don't have connections to their outside. And I'm not saying it's a market. I don't think there's a huge market for it, but I think there is enough of a market to where there's a group of people that'd be like, hey, I need to know. That would be nice. Maybe it's gotta be like something important's happened. You can, you know, people can know what's going on with you. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to set up Google alerts for Jared's name now. So, all right. So while Golden Distance 49, gets his work done. Dragon Squatch, you're on Dragon Squatch on Twitter, on Instagram. Are you on Parler yet? Like, what are you on?
I'm still trying to figure out what Parler is.
I hope you're doing well. Have a happy new year, sir. Happy you too. Shrek's, you call it Shrek's new year, or what do you call it?
I don't know. We haven't come up with that one yet. We're rethinking the whole Shrek themed situation. We want to do a Shrek party of some type annually to celebrate, but we're trying to figure out what is the best holiday to loop him in, because really Thanksgiving is not ideal for any of us, for not for us, not for people who want to join. So we're trying to workshop our. There will be some Shrek themed holiday in 2023 that everyone's welcome to, but yeah, I can tell you it's not even Thanksgiving anymore. So we'll figure out what it is. And
Shrek's of July, maybe.
That's the front runner currently, because that seems to be a little bit easier to pull off.
Yeah,
kids out of school,
summer. Yes,
easier to be outside.
You guys missed Shrek's Christmas this year because of the dreaded COVID. So. And then Shrek's is another hard one, so
wasn't as much this year either way, so it's been fun, but it's also it takes a lot of work, it's hard for the people to come. It's also not super easy for us. I mean, we're all, you know, it is what it is. So
like, 4th of July is good, but like, 4th of July is pretty big by itself. Like, I feel like it needs to be like Arbor Day or something, you know.
Flag Day,
but yeah. Yeah, Flag Day. You know, let your Shrek's flag fly, everybody. So
now, fuck it. Maybe we should make our own holiday in the middle of the summer. So
yeah, like the summer needs more holidays. Like
it's definitely got to be a warm weather situation, because it just needs to be. You know, I just feel strongly about that.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's just being all like grouped together in this like month. Like it's exhausting. Oh, I got it.
And Halloween's only a month before that.
Yeah. How about this Shrek's-lemania?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
What is that, like May? Usually April?
April. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. So, you might be on to something.
Maybe spring break. I don't know. Like, or Shrek.
Shrek-lemania sounds extra kinky, too, for some reason. It's really getting me hot and bothered. I don't know why Shrek-lemania is getting me. I'll have to talk to my therapist about getting to the bottom of that.
All right. Well, we've been jabbering for a while. We've been jabbering. Oh yeah, by, you know,
Jabber Jazz is
back. Yep, Jabber Jazz is back. I'm on the Jazz
Push Man. Co-op.
Twos and threes. Once a quarter. Once Mark stops, I'm consummating the anniversary. He'll get another one of those up there, and so yeah, we'll get some more episodes.
Yeah, we noticed it's a big month for him. I saw a wedding anniversary. I saw his wife's birthday on Christmas. That's a busy time of year for him. So
yeah, he loves Jesus. So I mean, it all worked out. So
I'm not sure about that last one. I'll have to check with him on it.
I told everybody, if you ever die on the toilet, Logan, I will let them know. So
I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining. I think we have enough common threads. I'm just saying, there's some folks out there who are kind of independent in the world, you know. So I don't know. Maybe there's nothing there. When someone makes $1 billion, I'm going to be pissed off. I'm going to tell you that right now.
And it's copyright. Patent pending. All right. Yeah, well,
folks, I will sue anyone who does this. Whether it's exactly. A social media notification or an email or any sort of documents or any sort of technology that leads to notifying people of your death or anything bad happening to you, or even great life events.
Yes, exactly. Like, Dragon Squash got that penis enlargement he's been trying to get. Good job.
He won't be tweeting for a while. His hands are swollen.
But But folks, join us for more craziness. Logan, good to talk to you, man. Let's not do pods without each other anymore. Like, those are not nearly as fun. So
yeah, I always get so disappointed when I listen. I mean, I always listen because I like him. I'm like, man, I wish I could have jumped in there and talked about this or that. So like we talked about, it's hard to find the motivation, right. But once we get here, it's enjoyable to do it.
Yeah.
We talk a lot of shit, but hopefully there's at least 7 or 8 people who enjoy.
I mean, Marnie, your brother, maybe your sister. I don't know.
But at the same time, there's a pretty big vacuum because like no one's like putting a lot of stuff out. Like, I don't know. I know we,
what is it with the Jazz this year? Like, I mean, they're fun. They're more fun, but yeah, like the Jazz episodes have not been, I don't even think Dave Locke has been putting them out as much. I don't know.
Podcasts and the friendships are like, we learned from COVID that they were 90% fake. 90% of them weren't real. It was things we did out of necessity. You don't really want a podcast. You don't really want to be my friend. It's just, we're all stuck kind of doing at home. Let's pretend like we are. Yeah. When's the last time you had a Zoom party on a Friday night, huh?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll catch you guys.